Connected Ribbon Commission on Children in Foster Care, the Implementation Progress Report, not an action item. We welcome Justice Huffman.
Thank you, Chief Justice, members of the council. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to address you today about an item that, as the Chief has pointed out, does not require action on your part. But I wanted to speak to you about the Commission's reports and its efforts to implement the 2008 recommendations that have been reported to the Council. I want to identify some successes that we've happily obtained and some of the challenges we have in the next steps that the Council, that the Commission proposes to take. I want to thank you, Chief Justice, for appointing me to replace Justice Moreno. It's a little bit daunting to replace somebody of his stature, and I thank you for the challenge. I should also acknowledge that we have two Council Commission members on the Council. Miriam Krinsky and Judge Terry Friedman are old-time members of our commission, Blue Ribbon Commission, and I wanted to acknowledge their presence. And I have to say, I've been, in the short time that I've had the position of chair, I've been moved by the opportunity to work with people around the state who are working very, very hard to make the Commission's recommendations to improve the outcomes for children in foster care to become a reality in California. As we learned when the Commission first took on the task of providing the Council with recommendations on how the courts and its partners might improve the dependency system and the child welfare system, there's a lot of work to be done before we can ensure that the children in our state have both safety and security and permanency. And I'm here today to give you a brief outline of the highlights of what we've accomplished in the last 2.5 years since we made our recommendations. And we've chosen to limit the efforts of the Commission to certain areas for a couple reasons. First, again, taking advantage of opportunities, there has been a strong political will for change in the dependency system for improvement of the life of our children. And we've taken the advantage of that where we could to get legislation and other advances. Second, we know that there's a number of We had a number of recommendations we could implement with limited resources, and God knows we have limited resources in this system, and so we've kept that in mind. There have been also impressive accomplishments in the federal, state, and local levels that really do significantly advance the goals of changing the way the juvenile courts do business and to reform the foster care system. And these accomplishments have occurred despite the very serious economic circumstances in which we find ourselves. And I believe that continued progress in spite of unprecedented judicial branch budget cuts and the toughest economic times that have existed since the Commission began demonstrate the power of collaboration, a term used a lot in the dependency system for a very good reason. Because at the present time, I can say all of the state's child welfare partners, the courts, the social service agencies, education, health, mental health, philanthropic organizations, CASA, the tribes, and various local advisory bodies have all taken up the challenge to try to make a difference in this system. And it's really been heartening to see that the collaboration has grown, it has become stronger, and that I think we are making some accomplishments in a system notwithstanding very difficult times. But there are challenges, and it would be remiss if I didn't identify the challenges, because obviously, despite our best efforts, some things are going to be stalled for the lack of resources and the lack of time. First, of course, the horrendous budget cuts that have been visited on the judicial branch will affect the ability of the dependency courts to manage their calendars and to ensure timely hearings, primarily due to courtroom closures, the lack of staff, commissioner layoffs, all of which we fear will very likely result in delays, children facing longer times in foster care because the court is unable to process the cases in a timely fashion. And secondly, we frankly don't know how to gauge the impact of realignment on the juvenile dependency courts. The shift in funding for a wide range of services to the local level could be a benefit, but the legislation is based upon estimated and not actual revenues, and the counties are going to have to be cautious as to how they determine to use those funds. So until the legislation is fully implemented, we really don't know how this shift is going to affect the Commission's recommendations, particularly those that deal with the ability to provide reasonable efforts to prevent children from going into foster care and to provide reasonable services to families during the reunification period. They all rely very heavily on appropriate and comprehensive services provided at the local level. Some of the highlights of the implementation effort, I'm not going to go through all of them. You have a fairly extensive list in your materials, and you can certainly, we have what we call our implementation tracker as Exhibit A, Attachment A to your materials, and I won't go through all of those. But there are a couple of things that in this time, it's always have something to feel good about, however temporary that may be. In our existence. Last year, we reported that the number of children in foster care in California had dropped dramatically over the last decade. We attributed that in part to a much more intensive focus by local and state policymakers on the problems of foster care, which in turn have led to significant innovations in the child welfare policies and practices. At the time last year, we said that California had seen a 45% drop and its share of children in foster care, which was accomplished, and I think it's significant to think back of my comments about the reduction of the court resources. That reduction in time in foster care is based in shortening the time children spend in foster care by having reasonable services for reunification, having a court system that can timely and promptly act on it. The faster we do our job, the less time these kids spend in the foster care limbo. The decline was mostly pronounced in among black children who have long been overrepresented in the child welfare system. And the downward trend continued. The data for 2010 indicates that the state drop is now 50% of what it had been at the time we began looking at these numbers. However, the bad news is we're hearing reports of the numbers beginning to rise, and we're going to need to address the reasons for that apparent increase. As I mentioned earlier, it's going to be the severe budget cuts, not only on the court, but on the service providers, are going to make a tremendous difference on how long, again, children have to languish in foster care. And, of course, as we know, budget impacts of this type hit the people that need it the most, who have the, because we can't give them the services, we end up having to give them the services within the judicial system because we lack the ability to keep these kids out of the foster care process altogether. We also know that under the Federal Fostering Connections to Success Act, we were able to get an early boost in the implementation efforts. That act increased the support for relative caregivers, improved family finding, provided more flexibility in the use of federal funds, and provided support for foster youth up until the age 21, which is an important issue for the Commission and for our society, I think. The legislation provides that matching funds to states who opt into its provisions can be provided. California successfully passed legislation, Assembly Bills 12 and 212, and the Commission, along with the AOC, at the Council's direction, is actively involved in efforts to implement that legislation. And we continue to work closely with the Child Welfare Council, which is co-chaired by Diana Dooley, the Secretary of the California Health and Human Services Agency, and Presiding Justice Vance Ray, and the AOC and the Co-Investment Partnership, the statewide interagency team, the whole bunch of folks that are working hard to make this process work. One of the keys is trying to work with the Social Services Agency to prioritize foster children in the line for services and benefits. I had the pleasure of meeting with Justice Ray last month to discuss, among other things, how we can best collaborate between the Blue Ribbon Commission and the Child Welfare Council. The Blue Ribbon Commission is focused on court-based approaches, and the Child Welfare Council is a broader, more statewide systemic, and we're seeking collaboration. I might say behind those two elderly gentlemen who neither had black hair or had gray hair when I first met Justice Ray, is the world's largest houseplant. I think that was given to him when he was young. And that land is enormous. So if you ever get to Sacramento, stop in and see the primeval forest in his office. We have one of the great successes and one of the most important aspects of this process has been the local foster care commissions within the counties. We have now 40 counties with active local foster care commissions, which were either formed or expanded in response to the commission's recommendations. And that, frankly, is very great news. They're working within their communities to identify and resolve local systemic concerns, to address the commission's recommendations, and more importantly, to build the capacity for a continuum of services to children and families in the foster care system. The AOC, at the direction of the council, is providing ongoing support to these local commissions through its juvenile court assistance team. And I've had the pleasure of visiting five of those commissions since I've been appointed chair of the Blue Ribbon Commission in order to encourage them to continue their collaborative work. And I have to tell you, I've been very impressed with the enthusiasm, the extent of the collaboration. This is very much about getting the most mileage out of that last quarter that we have in our treasury to make this system work better. When I look at the map, it's before you indicating the successful local commissions in California. I'm struck by the sweeping reach of those commissions. And although local efforts still need support and technical assistance, their work is really rather amazing. I was in Sacramento a few weeks ago to visit their Dependency Delinquency Standing Committee, and I'm really impressed by their efforts under the leadership of Judge Bulwer Urey. They are really working ahead of everyone else on implementation of AB 12 and 212 with regard to the children staying beyond age 18. It's not just a simple matter. It is a very complex legislation, and that group, if you've been in this business long enough and you can see a room full of probation, health and services, education, judges, and others, and they're actually working together instead of fighting with each other, you know how significant this is. Another key recommendation of the commission was to improve the Indian child welfare through increased collaboration between the state courts and the tribal courts. And with the Blue Ribbon Commission and the tribal court, state court forum, we already have some very promising collaborations, particularly in Imperial, Inyo, and Humboldt counties. I have to say I'm particularly impressed with Imperial County, where Judge Ulloa and White from the tribal court have made great strides in respecting each other's traditions, respecting each other's court orders. And about Judge Ulloa and their group, I have to share with you, he told me that their commission has no fighting over dwindling resources. You'd say, well, why is that? He said, because when you represent a county with the lowest income and the highest unemployment in the United States, you all know that there are not enough on the table to fight over, and that you have no choice but to work together on behalf of the county's children and families to maximize the reach of those inadequate resources. That's a tremendous can-do attitude, which I have shared with every commission that I've gone to talk to, because if folks in that extremist can say, hey, we don't fight over anything, we don't have anything, let's get to work, it's a marvelous attitude. And we're getting rapidly expanding educational services that I want to briefly mention to you, including state legislative requirements. Now the college campuses in California give priority in housing to current and former foster youth, and that the housing remain open during the breaks, just as an aside. You know, it's great, you're foster youth, you survived, you actually got to college, isn't that wonderful? And you got housing, that's great. Come the holidays, they close it, and you can live in your car as your Christmas present. And under this legislation, these universities are now making housing available, which is a tremendous break. And so 57 counties are involved in very continuing collaboration on these foster youth and education task force. Many of the local commissions are also prioritizing educational services. I know you've just dealt with San Joaquin County, but I must say for their local commission, they are focused very heavily on education. They have the superintendents of all of the school districts on their commission, including the community college district, and they're focusing very heavily on that. And they're also focusing very heavily on exchange of information. And one of the last items I want to mention to you is the problem of exchanging information because of the perceived barriers of confidentiality, of the silo nature of the agencies involved. It's often very difficult to have a meaningful exchange of information about these children. And if these are the children that we are responsible for in the court system, we're not very good parents when we don't know where our kids are. We don't know where they go to school. We don't know how they're doing. We don't know what their health issues are. We don't know what treatment they're getting. But otherwise, we're right on the edge of things. And so exchanging information is crucial. The Commission's co-sponsored a foster care symposium in October on the data exchange, and they had leaders from across the state who came. It was funded by the federal government through the Department of Health and Human Services, also the Juvenile Dependency Court Improvement Program, and the Stewart Foundation. And the symposium employed some very unique facilitation methods used by the Stewards for Change to try to begin a process of vision and a roadmap to strengthen the exchange, not just through technology, but through better cooperation among these agencies. Based upon that, materials being forwarded to the Child Welfare Council, their Data Linkage and Information Sharing Committee, and that material is going to be then disseminated to the child welfare agencies as well as the local courts. So what are the next steps? The Commission met telephonically in November to evaluate its implementation process and to make a plan for the coming year. And the Commissioners affirmed their commitment to seeing that the initial action plan of the Commission is followed through to full implementation, primarily by focusing in the next year on supporting local commissions, where that's the laboring oar is going to be, and to continue their work on information sharing. And both of these are going to be, I think, very significant areas of positive change. They also, incidentally, approved a new recommendation, that is to encourage the reunification of families, as we've, in the area of permanency, often focused on adoption and permanent placement. The legislative and societal priority, of course, is on reunification. It is a success when you send children back to a stable family and not necessarily a success when you adopt them out. So that was a new change. So finally, I want to leave you with a message from the Chief Justice that I think is very, very moving. Among the greatest responsibilities of any judge are children who come to court as victims of child abuse or neglect. Dependents of the court become our solemn responsibility, and they must be assured every protection, opportunity, and due process afforded by the law. We have the opportunity, through our actions and in collaboration with child welfare agencies, to lift up every child who comes before us. And thank you for those comments, Chief Justice. They are, I can't tell you how important it is in this process to have the strong support of the Chief Justice and the Council as we work with our partners. So thank you for giving me this opportunity to report on the Blue Ribbon Commission and its implementation efforts. The work is critical if we're going to ensure a brighter future for the children and the families that come to our courts. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Justice Huffman, for this positive, focused, collaborative report in difficult times. But most of all, thank you for your heart, your passion to this subject, and lending your expertise to protect the children of California.
Thank you.
Any questions or comments? Senator Evans?
I have a comment, and I just want to start out by saying thank you so much for the work that you've done and the work of the Blue Ribbon Commission. It's been extraordinary. And I've been one of the very proud authors of many of the legislation that's been recommended over the last few years. And I just want everybody to know that there is a very, very strong, very bipartisan commitment to improving foster care in the state legislature, and that's been true since I was elected in 2004. And I came in with then Assemblymember Karen Bass, whom you may know, who then became the Speaker of the Assembly and is now serving in Congress. But foster care was her highest priority, and I've been a member since 2005 when she started the Select Committee on Foster Care. And this is something that cuts across party lines. It is something that everybody is interested in. And, you know, I talk to a lot of community groups all of the time. And the one thing that everybody cares about, doesn't matter what group it is, they all care about foster care. And if I mention it at all, I'll get a dozen people coming up to talk to me later, very enthusiastic about the work that's being done. So I think California has made great strides in improving our foster care system with fewer and fewer resources. And I'm very happy with the work that you've done and to be very proud of it.
Thank you, Senator, and thank you very much for your support. I know very clearly how much you've done to make this work, and that's you're part of the wave that I said we were happy to ride into gaining legislative approval. The public and the legislature really want to make this work, and that's what we're relying on, and that's why, don't laugh, Judge Miller, I'm the ambassador of goodwill.
I just was going to say, you know, that I know you'll find this hard to believe, but thank you for your heart also.
You really know how to hurt a guy.
I would say if Judge O'Malley had her voice, she would retract some of her curmudgeon statements.
I have passed the torch on. Thank you very much.
Ms. Krinsky.
Any other questions?
Ms. Krinsky.
Well, I want to also thank you, Justice Huffman, for so wonderfully filling the large shoes that Justice Marino left behind. I think we're truly fortunate to have had in Justice Huffman somebody who is tireless, who's passionate about these issues and always has been. I think many know, but perhaps not everyone knows that Justice Huffman, in his spare time as an appellate justice, every year takes time to go and actually sit and adjudicate dependency cases. And I think that speaks volumes in terms of not simply his personal commitment, but his desire to have eyes on the ground and see what's going on with kids and families. I also want to acknowledge, because they're here, Diane Nunn for the Center for Families, Children, and the Court, and Chris Cleary. Diane and her staff are sort of the magic behind the curtain, Diane, Chris, and so many others who enable the good work of the Blue Ribbon Commission, Justice Huffman, and others to shine. Without the hours and the strategic thinking and the compassion that they bring to every element of this work and the vision that organizations throughout the nation are looking to for guidance, this work wouldn't be happening. And finally, I want to note that, as Senator Evans mentioned, we've had great support in the legislature, and now Karen Bass in Congress has recently initiated a congressional caucus on foster youth. And I want to suggest that we need to start perhaps casting the work of our commission and our eyes to D.C., because given now Congresswoman Bass's energy, she fully intends to try to move on some of these issues on a federal platform. And what we can't do in our state, perhaps we're going to have now a champion and an ability to continue to do, as we saw with the Fostering Connections Act, nationally. So I think we really might benefit from some strategic thinking around what might be those opportunities nationally to bring about change, even if there's a limit to what we can do in our own state.
Thank you. Justice Hull.
Thank you, Chief. I would also like to add my congratulations on this very important work. It's in good hands. Not to make light of that, but your reference to Justice Ray's plant in his chambers, he has expressed a concern to his colleagues that after some late night's work, we will find him the next morning with a number of its tendrils wrapped tightly around his neck. We're working to avoid that with him.
It's something about in the nighttime it says, feed me.
Thank you again, Justice Huffman.
Thank you.